Bienvenidos and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Lauren's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Lauren Hutton, and you already knew that. What is up, everybody? Oh, man. I secretly listen to this intro music when I don't make episodes because I like it. It's cool. I have an extended version of it that I listen to. I say extend. It's just a loop. It loops this for an hour and a half, and that's what I put on whenever I want to clean my house. Which, I mean, if any of you guys have gleaned anything from this podcast, just know that I'm lying. I never want to clean my house. I've been getting in trouble lately. Things have been real stressful around these parts, mainly because I have been slowly losing my mind for the past, I don't know, 30 years. How long do we want to go back and track this? I wrote a super funny joke about why I don't sleep. That's not relevant. Why am I bringing that up? Stuff's been bad lately and getting progressively worse. Holy cow. I have a TikTok now? What is going on with the world? I shouldn't have a TikTok. The only thing that ever gets said about TikTok is that it makes teenagers famous. Why am I on there? Is it because I just have to do whatever I see other people do? Like, ooh, maybe that'll be successful. I'll try it too. I got a TikTok. You can follow me. Go right on ahead. I don't care. I don't care about TikTok at all. But I will say this. Boy, howdy, does it help with that dopamine? There are so many people on TikTok. If you have any semblance of entertainability, no, that's backwards. That means that you are entertainable. If you have any abilities of an entertainer, there we go, words. Just throw something on the TikTok, you know? You'll get some dopamine real fast, like almost instantly. I'm up to like 19 followers now. Oh boy, howdy, I've done next to nothing. But yeah, it's a thing. It's another medium of social media. God, I'm redundant as hell today. Like I said, I'm not firing on all cylinders. And that's not because of just the normal insomnia, anxiety, and depression that I normally run with. No. We're pounding this shit out high octane style. That's right. Sorry, Mom. I don't always know how to like get myself out of a rut. But I will say this, I don't want to be anybody's like emotional support anything. I've had a lot of people reach out to me, not a lot, but you know, I made a post on Facebook talking about how I actually feel. Ooh, disgusting, right? Ooh, gross, real feelings. But I did it. And holy cow, I have some amazing people in my life. And I love every one of you. I mean, obviously, I love everyone listening to this podcast because you're my sweet, sweet pennies and halves, baby. Wild bunch it up. But I mean, like the people that are actually like in my life, the ones that when I speak honestly, they speak honestly back. They know when, you know, it's time to do what needs to be done to pick your buddy up off the floor. And I had a lot of people say some incredibly nice things to me. And I had a couple of people make me laugh really hard, which was definitely nice. Shout out to Josh King. He made me laugh so freaking hard. So long, blubbery post about how my depression's been completely out of control lately. By the way, that post was not supposed to be about me. I appreciate all of the loving words that I got in response to it, but it wasn't about me. I was trying to show how much I appreciate my girlfriend. And, gosh darn narcissism just got in the way again, huh? It did. Oh, man, the way that it worded, it's just like, it's three quarters of me whining about my problems, and then the last half is just like, well, thank God I have her. Didn't quite come out the way that I wanted it to, but I can't tell all of you how much I appreciate all the kind things that you said. People that I've worked with in the past, people that were friends in high school, just from every corner of the last 15 years of my life, people have been coming out of the woodwork and just being like, hey, man, you know, it's okay. You know, thanks for sharing. We appreciate you being real. We love you. You know, you're an amazing guy. Saying all these wonderful, nice things, you know, stuff that I can't possibly bring myself to believe about myself. But again, shout out to Josh King, because his comment, I believed that one, you know, long, long, blubbery post. Everyone saying, you know, how, you know, very nice things to me. And then here comes Josh King, big raspberry himself. And he drops a link to a podcast and he says, hey, I really like this podcast. It makes me laugh sometimes. Maybe you should give it a listen. And he dropped a link to this very podcast. Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, I laughed my flipping tits off. Sorry, Mom. I just overwhelmed with so many positive emotions. And I'm like on the verge of tears again, reading these comments on this Facebook post. And then I get to Josh's, which is about halfway down. And I laughed like a white girl. I peed a little, you know, like it was awesome. So thank you all for all of that. You know who you are. And if you didn't see it and you don't know what I'm talking about, and right now you're sitting back thinking like, this isn't what I come here for. Hurry up and get to an article that you're going to read or something. Calm down. We're almost done. Every single time that I've been in a point like this in my life, it takes some external source to snap me out of it usually. You know, whether it's... And I don't even necessarily mean like, you know, a really good thing, because that's where your mind immediately goes, right? An external source to snap you out of your depression. Well, it has to be like some sort of extravagant good news, or you know, someone buys you something that makes you feel really good, or some new game that distracts you from all of the BS that's going on in your own brain. Or maybe it's a new show that you can just dive in and just, you know, hunker down and binge watch until the depression passes. That one doesn't really work. They've done studies. You know, it just makes you more sad. Don't binge watch TV when you're depressed. Get up. Exercise. They say that works. I don't know. I tried it. It doesn't. Exercise does not work, okay? I don't care how, like, I'm sure it works eventually if you get into a habit of it or something, or at least that's what everyone says. But I tried it 2 weeks ago. I worked out 3 times in a week. I felt good for one day, and then all the soreness happened and I could barely walk. And I was like, did I overdo it? Of course I overdid it. I've spent the last 6 months just sitting in a car. And then all of a sudden I thought I was going to run laps around my house and do arm curls with resistance bands. What? No, that was not going to end well. Obviously. I don't know what I was thinking. I was sore for over a week. One day of feel-good brain chemicals is not worth feeling that terrible for a week. Well, you just got to stick with it. You just got to keep going. You build up a resistance. You know, you break your muscles down and then they get stronger. And then you start to really feel good. And it's like, no. Working out does not make you feel good. It makes you feel. That's it. It doesn't necessarily make you feel good. It just makes you feel. It releases serotonin. It releases dopamine. All these feel-good chemicals. It also releases lactic acid in all of your everything. Ugh. Headaches. Joint pain. Muscle deterioration. It's not worth it, in my opinion. I may change my mind on that eventually. Who knows? I may hit 40 and decide that it's time to get everything right. I have made some decisions, like I'm 30 now. I have to make some changes. I'm not a child anymore. Well, I mean, on the outside, like I have crow's feet and my hairline is receding. But on the inside, I'm still just a little tiny baby boy. But that outside part, you know, I don't want to turn into one of these people that's like 35 and they're still just, they wear a t-shirt every single day of their life. And I used to think that would be fine. And I don't know. Stuff is changing all up in my brain hole. I feel the need to be presentable. I feel the need to, like, I don't know, stand out by looking nice. Oh, man, that's pretentious. I want to look good. I went on some job interviews this week. You know, that's how bad things have gotten. I'm interviewing for jobs. It wasn't like a month ago. Me and Leah got into a big knockdown, dragout fight because, you know, my depression was off the rails and her depression was also up and down. And it was just bad, you know, hardcore money troubles just because it's not great over here in the bank accounts. And, you know, obviously money troubles is one of the biggest things that all couples fight about is when you don't have enough money. Now, whatever enough money means, you know, we have a house. I have a car payment. We have bills that are very, way higher than anything I've ever put myself into previously in this life. Now, with that, you know, I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I have nice things, but I can't afford them. And so they just make me sad. I've always been the type of person that I would rather do without and just hang out with people or just sit down and read a book or just do things that are free to pass the time of existence so that, you know, you're not just sitting there staring at the wall. I've never put myself in a position where I couldn't afford something and then just like stayed in that position. Every time that I've been like, oh no, I can't afford this, I let it go. And now I have a partner. And I refuse to let her go. She's an intricate part of my life, as we stated earlier. So I can't not have her. And unfortunately, her name is on this mortgage and she needs help paying it. So I just, you know, I need money. It makes you feel trapped. You get yourself into these long-term agreements. Credit is the most evil thing in the entire world. I mean, sure, it's fine if you're like a perfectly functional person that knows how to manage a checkbook. Ooh, checkbook. That's an archaic term, right? How about a debit card? How about that? Learns how to manage their debit card. I've never been good with money, which is why I don't have things. I had okay credit at one point, you know, and then, that was the last time that I had a car payment. And the car payment didn't get paid. The car got repossessed. And then my credit got shot. All the hell. I don't even know how I was able to get the car that I got. They should not have approved me. And I'm sure that's exactly what they're thinking now because I owe them like 3 months worth of car payments. Jesus Christ. Ugh. But it's all good. I have job offers. I just have to pick one. Oh, isn't that nice? I feel like the belle of the ball right now. I got multiple people that are like, yeah, come work here. But I just don't want to. I'm like 85% sure I know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. Very similar to what I'm doing now. Just drive around all day. But instead of driving around and maybe not making any money, I'm going to be driving around making a consistent wage with, you know, healthcare and paid time off and all these other things that I'd give it up on because I was a Lyft driver. It's exciting. Good stuff. But none of that is what, like, has shaken the depression. I don't even know if it's been shaken. I feel a little better today. And a lot of that is because I got job offers yesterday, but I feel a little better today. And I think it's probably in part because, you know, I got an opportunity to do something that I shouldn't be excited about, but I am. That's right, baby. Tonight, I'm working the door at my comedy club. Oh, boy, I've worked so hard to be able to take people's money and put a wristband on them. I'm super excited about it. I shouldn't be. This is not a big deal, or at least it shouldn't be a big deal. Like, I shouldn't be all super stoked and excited about just standing there and watching 200 people walk up to me and hand me money or a credit card, and then I hand them a wristband, or I put the wristband on them, or I don't know how it works. I'm going to have to be trained. This is a monkey's job, once again, and I'm going to have to be trained. It should be okay. I don't think it'll be the reason I'm excited about it is because, like, working the door, it comes with, like, a bunch of soft things, you know? Like, maybe they'll ask me to work the door in the future. Maybe it'll become a regular thing, which means I'll be at the club regularly. I'm not very good at motivating myself, but if it's my job to be there, that's a little different. I wouldn't mind having that as a second job, working the door. That'd be all right. I'd take it. Mainly just because it's one of the easiest ways to get your foot into a club. You know, you're working the door. You're working inside of the club. Whether you're, you know, working in the kitchen, working as a server, working the door, if you can work in the club, suddenly it's your job to be there, which means the other staff are going to get to know you potentially. The owners and bookers are going to get to know you potentially. And then as long as you're funny and nice and supportive, it could turn into work. It probably won't, because I'm nice and I'm sort of funny. I'm definitely not supportive. That's something I wish I did better. Like, I really wish I did it better. I don't like to leave my house. I get real sad, and then I get real comfortable, and I don't want to go anywhere. Mainly because, like, I don't... This is my passion. It's not Leah's, you know? And because of that, she's not going to want to go to shows nearly as often. Which puts me in the position of like, okay, do I go to these shows to try and support my friends and support the comedy scene? Or do I stay home and support the most important person in my life? And for the past 3 years, I have 90% of the time I've chosen her. 90% of the time I tell her, no, I don't have plans tonight. Even though all day I've been thinking about going to the open mic. And all day I've been thinking about going to that show that's being ran by Bombs Away. Or all day or all week I've been thinking like, yeah, I really want to see this person at the club this weekend. And then it comes time to do that. She asks me, what are we doing tonight? And I'm just like, I don't have plans. What do you want to do? Is that right? I don't know. Is it going to change? Honestly, probably not. If there's anything that's going to get in the way of me being a working comedian, it's her. 100%. I realized that a long time ago. And that's not her fault. She is so supportive of me. She is constantly encouraging me to, like, you know, you've been talking about how you've been at shows. Like, do you want to go to shows? Is there any open mics tonight? What are we doing? It's all on me. I don't lay any of this blame at her feet. So I guess it's not really fair to say that she's the thing that's holding me back. Obviously, I am. That's right. High five. It's always my fault. It always is. You're responsible for your own life. You know? Obviously, there's extenuating circumstances where a person could be, you know, thrust into a situation that is well beyond their control or scope and grasp. Of course, that's possible. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not responsible for your own life. You are. Of course you are. You are just a collection of your experiences and choices. That's it. That's all you are. Things happen to you. You process them or don't. And then you make choices. The choices don't have to be related to the things that happen to you. But that's all that life is. That is why old people are so cumbersome. Imagine 50 years of bad choices. And also 50 years of not realizing that the results of those bad choices are results of your bad choices. That's some banana pancake shit right there. Sorry, Mom. Make good choices. Manifest your own destiny. You are in charge of your happiness. I'm a hypocrite. You're in charge of your own happiness. I've been so depressed for a month and a half. Where I'm all over the board. I don't practice what I preach. That's the long and short of that. I'm a giant hypocrite. I'm not a good person. I don't know why people like me. But they do. And I appreciate the hell out of them. I appreciate my mom. I don't say that enough, but I do. I appreciate you, Mom. She's the butt of like 80% of my life. And she just takes it on the chin. Because she loves me. You know? That's something that's very interesting that like I talked about with Shonkler. Not Shonkler. Shockler. Two different dudes. I can't remember if we said it on the podcast or if it was outside of the scope of recording, but he told me that, you know, your mom will always love you. I'm saying that from experience. And he hasn't experienced my mom, obviously, but He's not wrong. I'm not saying your mom will always love you. I don't know your mom. But Eric was able to, like, you know, figure out enough about me to understand the similarities. And he was able to see something in me that he saw in himself. And he wasn't wrong. My mom will always love me, 100%. She tells me that all the time. She tried to get me to come out and hang out with her today. And, you know, I wasn't able to do that, but I want to see her soon. I'm hoping to see you soon, Mom. Oh, boy, this is a bad episode. Let's move on. Let's talk about something other than me. Jesus Christ, my narcissism smells like pie. Not a good pie, like a meat pie that someone put too much gravy in so it's all oozing out the sides, and then it bakes onto the pan, and then the pan is never going to be the same because it's got that stupid meat grease pie stain. You know what I'm talking about? Me neither. Oh, let's see here. What has been going on this week? Let's find out. Come along to Lauren's Learning Corner.
Come along and learn with him. You could just look it up yourself, but he's gonna read an article he found on Facebook.
Hey, Joe Rogan endorsed Bernie Sanders, and Twitter lost its flippin' mind about it. Now, when I say Twitter lost its mind about it, I don't mean that superfluously. Like, they lost their ever-loving mind about it. I forget who it was, but someone had posted a video of Joe Rogan saying the N-word for the last 10 years on his podcast. Just a smash cut of him just over and over again. Now, I don't think we have to argue that that's a problematic word. I don't care what your opinions are on it. That's a problematic word. That word causes problems. For that reason alone, I don't mess with it. Now, there's a part of my brain that is still 18 years old and stuck in 2008, and for some reason, that word is super funny to me. I don't use it in my act. I don't like it when white people say it. It makes my taint just kind of shrivel up a little bit, and that baby's already short enough. I have no idea. It was a cringy video. Like, seriously, it was cringy. I lost at least an inch and a half off my taint when I watched this thing, okay? She shriveled. Yes, my taint's a girl. I'm so sorry, Mom. Oh, boy. Let's move on. The comments section was all a buzz. Now, I realize Lauren's Learning Corner is supposed to be an article that I read, but this is what's on my mind, okay? This is all that I can really think about. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts to this because it's like, of course, Bernie loved getting the endorsement. There's so many people that listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. So many. That fan base is in the millions, baby. Joe Rogan has more listens on his podcast than the daily active users on Twitter. Think about that for a minute. Joe Rogan endorsed, I think they, I forget what it was, but it's something like 20 million people or something. Oh, man. I wish I had a producer to look this up for me. Joe Rogan download per month. Okay, so in January 2015, the podcast listened to more than 11 million people. By October, it had already grown to 16 million. 5 million people! Oh, my God! Holy crap! January to October, he got 5 million people? But here's the thing, okay? That was in 2015, so there was a huge jump a few years ago where his podcast suddenly was just listened to by everyone. How many do you think a month he gets now? How many do you think? April 2019, the podcast had 190 million downloads. Oh, God, that is so many pennies and halves. Are you kidding me? Holy crap. His wild bunch is real big. Ooh, that sounded dirtier than I meant it to. That is way more than the daily active users on Twitter. Let's see here. What is the daily active users of Twitter? Daily active users on Twitter. Around. Well, that's not a number. That's a percentage. Forgive me. I should have looked this up before doing this. How about, okay, hold on. We're going to do it this way. You ready? You ready for this? Hey, Siri.
I'm here.
How many daily active users does Twitter have in 2020?
I found this on the web.
25 Twitter statistics all marketers should know. Yeah, that sounds promising. Let's see here. Looks like... Just give me the freaking number. Yeah, okay. Twitter has 145 million monetizable daily active users. That's not right. So yeah, maybe he's wrong. Maybe he doesn't have more. Leading countries based on number of Twitter users in 2019. The United States had about 48 million. Japan was about 36. United Kingdom was 14, Saudi Arabia 9, Turkey 8, Brazil 8, India 7, Mexico 7, Spain 6, and Russia 6. Wow, we just kind of own Twitter there, don't we? So yeah, basically Joe Rogan has more influence than Twitter, like, in the entire world. That's the long and short of that. So sure, when you look at Twitter, half of Twitter is like, oh my God, he said the N-word 176 times. How dare he endorse Bernie Sanders? And how dare Bernie Sanders accept that endorsement? And then the other half of the world is just like, yeah, cool, Bernie. Yeah, all right. That's awesome. Here's a fun fact. Most of Joe Rogan's fans are white men that don't care about politics. Imagine how many of them are suddenly just going to like, perk up and be like, yeah, okay. I guess if Joe says it's okay, maybe I'll vote this year. So weird. I don't typically vote. Ooh, oh God, burn him at the stake. I say I don't typically vote. I've only had a couple of opportunities. I voted for Obama in the first term. Oh God, burn him at the stake. That was it. And the only reason that I did it then is because I was 18 years old and everybody was really excited about it. I kind of got swept up in all of that. And I didn't do any research. I was 18. I didn't care who I was. It didn't matter. I voted for the cool black guy. You bet your ass I did. And then the second term came around and I didn't go to the polls. And I haven't been back since. It's been 12 years. Haven't been back since. I did not vote in the last election. Oh, God, burn him at the stake. All I want to do is just sit back and laugh. And I want other people to laugh. And nobody laughs about politics unless you're at SNL and you're faking it. Let's not talk about how bad SNL is now. Oh, man. Apparently, the head writer, Michael Shea, is psychotic. I know a couple of people that have reached out to him through social media for various reasons, and I don't know. I guess he's crazy. That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about now. What else is going on in the world of the Twitterverse? This one's pretty cool. Where did it go? You guys heard of this coronavirus? Yeah, baby. Beer be toxic now. Japan? Hong Kong? Is that in China? Yeah, that's China. Jesus Christ, Lauren. So they're not going to school over there. They've extended their like holidays until February 17th. They have suspended official visits to mainland China, said that this year's Hong Kong Marathon would not take place. Is Hong Kong an island? Oh God, I'm ignorant. So yeah, the response level to this virus has officially reached emergency. Okay, why is that a big deal? I don't know. It may not sound like a big deal. It's all the way on the other side of the world. Also, sounds kind of like a drinkable virus. There's a lot of things here that you could just, you know, brush off and not take seriously. But here's the thing. Here's my theory about how the world is going to end. It's not going to be World War III. It's not going to be nuclear holocaust. That's not going to be it. Think about what happened the last time that we just like dropped a couple bombs, you know? Everything stopped when that second one dropped, you know? Now, I'm not a military strategist, and it's like, well, what if Japan had had those nukes and they fired them back? I don't know, man. I feel like if both of us lost a city, then, you know, that's still two bombs. You know what I mean? I mean, things may have looked a little bit different on the outcome of the war, but I don't know. Nuclear holocaust, I just don't see it in our immediate future. I really don't. What I do see in our immediate future is a pandemic that completely wipes out the entire planet. You ever had antibiotics? You ever gotten yourself some penicillin? That wonderful little thing? How many times have you had to be prescribed antibiotics in your life? How often do doctors just be like, here you go, Z-Pack, get that mucus out your face? How many times? Just in your own life. Just start counting them up. Now imagine that virus, right, being bombarded with that antibiotic over and over and over and over and over again. Suddenly that virus is going to be like, hey, you know what? I figured out a way to stop myself from being killed by these antibiotics. Viruses don't get killed by antibiotics, do they? That's bacteria, right? I'm not a scientist. My point is that there is a very real threat of us healing ourselves into non-existence. The basic concept is that if you keep fighting these bacterias with antibodies, antibiotics, antivirals, vaccines, eventually the viruses and the bacteria are going to create like some kind of crazy super thing. It's already happened multiple times. Swine flu, bird flu, both of those were pandemic level events that it was just like, oh, well, what do you mean a perfect storm of things happened for this virus to get this attribute to be able to spread in this way and suddenly everyone has it and everyone's dying? Leah had swine flu. Yeah, that's why her nose is so piggly right now. That's a dumb joke. I'm sorry I said it. She did. She had swine flu. She was super ill. She almost died. I say almost died. That's in like a first world kind of way, which meant she spent some time in the hospital. She was very ill. And if she hadn't been in a first world country with all of the medical expertise around her, she probably would have been way worse off. Boy, are we privileged here in the Americas. This pandemic thing, people are already talking about it. They've been talking about it for years because it's been an ongoing problem of overprescribing things like antibiotics, antivirals. You ever gotten a flu shot? Yeah. You're going to get another one next year too, aren't you? That's because the flu is just changing. It's always adapting to the shots that we're giving it. And when it comes around the next year, it is already mutated to the point that, oh no, we have to change how the flu shot works. That's why no one's able to stop the common cold, because it is tenacious. Now we have this coronavirus. I don't know anything about it other than it's bad news, and Hong Kong is in a full state of emergency as of like 10 hours ago. The whole city's on lockdown by the mainland government. Their schools are not going back into session for another month, like, or 3 weeks or whatever it is. This is a big deal. All of Hong Kong could potentially just get wiped out. They could just get quarantined and they have to live there until they catch that shit and die. Sorry, Mom. It's not good. We're right back to the whole like SARS thing, you know? I don't remember what that was, but that was like an upper respiratory thingy, and everybody was real worried because folks were dying, and all of the Asian countries were wearing masks, and oh boy, howdy, it's bad news. But that's how we're going to go out. We are not going to march down the path of mutually assured destruction fast enough with our military because we're doing it too fast with medicine. Natural selection is a way for an ecosystem to regulate itself. And we have been kicking natural selection in the dick for years. Sorry, Mom. Seriously, think about all the things that we do to help the people that are sick and weak and tired. In the animal kingdom, they were food for something bigger than them or scavengers, right? But we don't do that anymore. We keep the elderly plugged up to machines, extending their life well beyond the natural means, and then we let them live like that just for the sake of having them around for a little bit longer. Things that would normally just like keep our population under control, you know, like a balanced ecosystem, we are constantly engineering ways around that, which is why there's 8 billion people on the planet. Are we up to 9 now? How many people do you think are on the planet? Let's look that up real fast. Lauren's Learning Corner. It's all over the map today. World population, which, oh man, I was real close. As of 2018, it was 7.6 billion. But I don't know when the last time we looked into that was. Let's see here. 2019. Here we go. World population. So yeah, we're at 7.7 billion-ish. The world population is the total number of humans currently living and was estimated to have reached 7.7 billion people as of April last year. Oh boy. Yeah, roughly 8 billion folks. I have... The reason that the population thing gets to me so hard is because it's the only thing that I've really saw, and I have like a very distinct memory of my childhood that locks in the math. We are growing exponentially. We are a virus on this planet. If we weren't a virus on this planet, we wouldn't be mechanizing and materializing and building ways for us to not die. That's what a virus does. That's what a bacteria does. That's not even a really unique analogy. How many villains in movies have wanted to, you know, just cull the entire world for the sake of survival of everything that's left behind? I'm not saying that I align my thinking with those villains, but you can't deny the logic that they're applying there. When I was like, I think fourth grade, my teacher had a map of the world, and in the bottom right corner, it said world population 6.2 billion. 6.2 billion. And here we are like 25. Nope, definitely wasn't in fourth grade when I was 5. But here we are like 20 something years later. And we've grown that by like 20%? Is the population going up 1% every year? That's terrifying. That is exponential growth. And we're eventually going to run out of space. Well, that's not the way to phrase that. We're eventually going to run out of surface is what we're going to run out of, and then we will have to leave the surface to go to space. There's so much space out there. I mean, that's not even a unique thing. I'm just regurgitating every like science fiction-y nonsense. We're going to overpopulate, and we're going to have to leave. If you don't believe me, go watch WALL-E. That's exactly what happened in that whole thing, you know? It's bad news bears. So what's Joe Rogan and Bernie Sanders going to do about it? Oh, man. I don't care who you vote for. I love you. I don't care what your political opinions are. I love you. I don't care how many times you say the N-word when you shouldn't. I still love you. I don't think that there's enough love in the world. We're overpopulated, and yet we got a shortage of love. How is that possible? Oh, well, I can let you know real quick. Because people suck. That's it. People suck. That's right. They suck real big ones. Coconuts. They suck big coconuts. I'm not going to apologize for that, Mom. It was perfectly appropriate. Yeah, people suck big coconuts. They really do. If you don't believe me, go to a NASCAR race and just bump into somebody carrying 2 beers. Just see what happens. If you don't believe me, you don't believe me? go to a pride parade and dress in all camouflage and just stand there. Just see what happens. Just wait for someone to accost you. There are bad people on all sides of every topic. You know why? Because people suck. People suck because they don't understand that empathy is a thing that you have to develop, just like math. You know, math is something you use every day. Or maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you don't know how to give change at the register at Speedway. But math is something you use every day. Empathy is not something that everyone uses every day. I think we should teach it. Teach empathy in schools. Do it! All right. Well, that's enough for me. I guess that'll be the end of Lauren's Learning Corner. Maybe we should do like a post-roll music too, you know? Like, you know, really put a nice end cap on the segment.
Thank you so much for your time. Lauren's Learning Corner's over. Hopefully you learned something, or maybe not.
Alrighty then. I hope that was informative. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We'll find out. No, I won't. It's not like you're going to message me and be like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Or maybe you will. I don't know. I've been consistently surprised at the willingness of the Wild Bunch to reach out and talk to me. Don't forget these things. I got shows coming up, y'all. Let me whip out the calendar. First of all, this upcoming Wednesday, big deal, big honking nonsense, Go Bananas Comedy Club. That's right, the place that I'm working the door tonight. It's another one of their pro-ams. These shows are great. They're right in the middle of the week, so they're not super convenient, but they are fun. They let out by 10 o'clock. You'll be home in bed by 10:30. Trust me, you can make it to work in the morning. It'll be fine. Show up by 7:30, say my name at the door. It's only $5 to get in. If you can't afford that, just holler at me. I'll figure out a way to get you in there. I'm not going to pay for your ticket, but I will figure out a way to get you in there. Other than that, other shows that are potentially happening. I think February 18th, I got a show up in Dayton at Toxic Brewing. That show is free. Yeah, baby, confirmed it today. So all my Dayton friends, come and see me. It's going to be a good time. That's a Tuesday. But same thing. Show starts at 8. It should be over by 10. You could definitely make it to work in the morning. Don't be such a sourpuss. Other than that, I got February 29th, St. Bernard Eagles show. Open to the public. You don't have to be a member to get in there. But I do think that one costs money. I'm not 100% sure. But that's a sweet, sweet weekend show, baby. St. Bernard Eagles. Bunch of funny folks are on there. Mr. Nick Noble will be there. That's right, Mr. One Bite Challenge himself. I don't remember who else, but I'm almost certain that everyone on the show is super funny because the person that's putting it together, he's just great. Shout out to David Broerman. I don't have anything else to talk about. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week. I hope you're having a good time. I hope that this podcast is bringing you some enjoyment. Don't forget that there is a Teespring account. You can buy shirts and socks and hoodies and things. I've had a couple of people tell me like, hey, the artwork on the shirts, it kind of looks bad. Yeah, trust me, I'm aware. The hoodie is the thing that looks the best in my opinion, but I haven't seen them. I haven't gotten any samples yet. I'm still waiting on that to come in the mail. So I have no idea. Maybe you want to wait till you see it on someone's body until you want to buy one. I don't blame you. I would be the same way, especially with how those images look on the website. God, I got to fix that. We'll figure it out. We'll get there, baby. But if you do happen to buy something, take a picture. Get that selfie game on point and post it all over the place. Hashtag Lauren's Podcast. Hashtag Sorry Mom. Hashtag whatever you want to say. I don't care. Yeah, do it. Do it to it. I'll really appreciate it. Oh, I don't think I have anything else. I talked about shows. Talked about the shirts and the socks. Talked about the birds and the bees. Talked about the Ronin and... Ronin? That's not it. Rogan. The Rogan and the Sanders. I don't think I have anything else. Thank you all for sticking with me through all of this. Again, I'm so sorry I didn't get you an interview this week. January, we're 2 for 4 on releasing episodes the way that I say I'm going to release them when I say I'm going to release them. Hooray! I promise you new episodes every Friday, and I'm halfway there, baby. Yeah! I don't know. It'll get better as we go. My life's just real chaotic right now. I'm trying to figure some things out. Hopefully, I'll get on this job game, and things will get nice and solidified, and everything will be okay. Wish me luck, y'all. I'm rooting for you, trust me. I don't even have to know you to root for you, you know? Like, I could just, you know, just thinking passively about, you know, people as a generality. You know, I hope everybody's doing well. Take her easy, be well. And that's all I got for now. Ta-ta and toodles.